I am not ashamed of the gospel. Gospel means good news, the good news that God is reconciling us to himself through Jesus the Messiah. Rabbi Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And when you hear those words, you know that you've tuned in to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're really glad to be with you today. Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And we encourage you to go there, sign up and get our free newsletter, look up some of our articles. Probably if you have a question about anything having to do with Jewish people and Jesus, and how do I witness to my Jewish friend or coworker? We've got an article there for you. So take advantage of that website. Again, it's shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com. Rabbi Glenn with you today and coming to you live from the spacious and congenial studios of Faith Talk 1500. And on the other end of the phone, a dear friend of mine from years back, Jeff Millinson. Jeff is the director of music for the Ministry of Jews for Jesus. Those of you who listen regularly to Jesus Made Me Kosher know that we really love the folks at Jews for Jesus. And he's also the supervisor of the Ministry at Large department. And Jeff, I guess that's a catch-all category for what doesn't fit into other categories, minister at large. But welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thanks, Glenn. It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us. Jeff, you and I have a lot in common. Both raised in Jewish families, both grew up in our formative years in Southern California, both came to know Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah. We both married lovely girls that we didn't deserve. tell us a little bit about yourself, your upbringing, and how the Lord God of Israel revealed himself to this nice Jewish boy and how Jesus made you kosher.
Sure. Well, although I was born on the East Coast, my parents were living on Long Island at the time that I was born. Somehow I escaped having a Long Island accent because my parents moved to California when I was seven, and so I was primarily raised in Orange County, California. And my parents didn't attend synagogue, so my Jewish identity was formed largely through spending time with my extended family in Los Angeles and Denver, studying Jewish history and reading a lot of novels, people like Chaim Potok. And I really identified with the values of learning and scholarship that I saw in his characters. So I was a good student in high school, and I eagerly looked forward to continuing my quest for learning in college. So I started studying at an Ivy League university on the East Coast. And during my sophomore year, I received a long letter from my older sister. And she and her boyfriend had been traveling around in the South Seas and had then settled in New Zealand. And according to her letter, they had been hippies and vegetarians, but now they had become born-again Christians. Now, that was really a shock to me because she wasn't the religious type. So I couldn't quite understand it, and she was challenging the rest of my family to consider the claims of Jesus. But I wasn't sure I was really ready to do that. But as I continued reading the letter, I had to admit that she really did seem to be a changed person. And here's an example. She and her boyfriend had been previously living together, but they stopped doing so after their experience with God. And that really impressed me. So I began to seriously consider whether Jesus might be who he claimed to be, the Messiah of Israel. And I had always assumed, and this probably sounds familiar to you and to maybe many of our listeners, I had always assumed that being Jewish meant that I could answer an automatic no to that question of whether Jesus was the Messiah. But I was starting to realize there might be more to consider. So I really wanted to know more. And a friend of mine, as I requested, he sent me a Bible that contained both the Jewish scriptures and the New Testament. I didn't know a whole lot about what was in the New Testament, although once, after seeing the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, I had picked it up because I had some questions. But now as I really read it, I discovered that it was a very Jewish book. And the person described in it, Jesus, Yeshua, his name meaning salvation, was definitely Jewish. But was he the Messiah? I started reading passages such as the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, written by a Jewish prophet 700 years before Yeshua lived on earth. And obviously, that seemed to picture Yeshua quite clearly. Isaiah said, he was wounded because of our sins. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Well, you know, it sounded like Yeshua, but...
It almost makes you feel like you're reading the New Testament, and lo and behold, this thing was written seven hundred years before.
Yeah, it was like a newspaper article in a way. But the thing was, I really didn't like the part about sin. He was wounded because of our sins. That was really clear to me. I didn't know that I wanted to believe it, though, because if the Messiah had come to take away our sin, that meant that I was a sinner, and I didn't really want to hear that. That was really a problem. But I still felt like I was on the brink of making a decision about Jesus one way or the other. And I figured, well, if he is the Messiah, I should believe in him. If not, I shouldn't. But how could I know for sure? So I called my Christian friend, the one who'd sent me the Bible, and after a really long conversation, I realized the only person who could really answer my question was God himself. So I got off the phone, and I decided I'll pray. So I asked God to show me whether Jesus was the Messiah or not, and then I went to bed. So, wondering what happened next?
Yeah.
Well, the next day, I had a final exam. Now, this wasn't just any final. It was for a class I absolutely had to pass, so it meant I couldn't miss it. But because I'd been up so late, I overslept. I knew I would miss the exam, yeah, and fail the class. And here's where God really did something interesting. I realized that by missing the final, I was falling short of my own standards. Kind of like, come on, Jeff, you can do better than this. You know you can. So you're falling short of your own standards. And then I realized, if I'm falling short of my own standards, how much more was I falling short of God's standards? Mm-hmm. A whole lot more. And it hit me at that point. But that's part of what it means to sin. It's not the only definition, but part of sin is to fall short of a standard. The Messiah was wounded because of our sins. He paid the penalty for our sin. Now I understood. Right there in my dorm room, I prayed and I received Yeshua as my Messiah and Lord, because I finally understood that I was a sinner and that I needed what Yeshua had done for me. So at the ripe old age of 18, became a believer in Jesus, and in one sense, you could say, haven't looked back. A lot of interesting things have happened along the way, but that's how I became kosher.
Wow! So you failed the one test, but passed the other test, and the other was far more weighty and consequential. Interesting too, Jeff. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, Rabbi Glenn with you today, and my very dear friend, Jeff Millinson on the other end of the line. Jeff is the director of music for Jews for Jesus in San Francisco. He coordinates, the music, ministry of Jews for Jesus, which really is considerable. They have a music team traveling around, now called Blue Mosaic. For many years, the music team that traveled for Jews for Jesus was called the Liberated Wailing Wall. And Jeff, if you don't mind, I just want to point out a couple of things. You and I first met in 1986. I had applied to the staff of Jews for Jesus. They were considering whether or not to take me on, and whether or not I was qualified to travel with the Liberated Wailing Wall as part of the music team. And I remember you came over to my apartment and visited and kind of pre-auditioned me. And I remember you being very, very kind and gentle, because I was not the most talented guitarist that ever lived, to put it mildly. But, you know, you and I have a lot in common, not just the fact that we both served with Jews for Jesus and you continue to. Both our formative years were spent in Southern California. But your two sisters are named Laura and Andrea. My two sisters are named Laura and Andrea. It's freaky.
Wow. ever knew that. I'd totally forgotten it. That's amazing.
No, we didn't know that. I found that out because today, you know, doing my homework for the show, I said, you know, Jeff is friended to me on Facebook. Why don't I go look at his profile? So I did. And by the way, folks, Jeff graduated from Cal State University Fullerton, then got his Master's of Divinity from Trinity International University, formerly Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicagoland. Right. And has been serving with Jews for Jesus for a number of years, overseeing the music ministry. And Jeff, let's shift gears a little bit. Talk to us a little bit about the music ministry at Jews for Jesus. Maybe briefly a little bit about the history, and then now what's happening with Blue Mosaic. And let's be sure to talk about the AMF coming up, the music festival in Asheville.
Right, right. Well, many people will probably know that the music team of Jews for Jesus for a number of years was the Liberated Wailing Wall, and it had people who rotated on and off the team, made an 18-month commitment, but overall it had a lifespan from beginning in 1972, actually predating the formal start of the Jews for Jesus ministry itself, by just about a year. So Liberated Wailing Wall began in 72, and then the final team of the Liberated Wailing Wall was the 2008 to 2010 team. So it wrapped up in 2010. And in January of 2010, we had a kind of an upper room conference here in San Francisco, and we wanted to talk about the future of Messianic music, the future of the Liberated Wailing Wall, maybe some ways in which we could change things around a little bit, freshen them up. And, for instance, costumes. Someone once said, you know, a lot more young people might be willing to join that team if they didn't have to dress up like Tevye, the milkman. And we realized, okay, maybe people can't quite identify with the shtetl in the same way that maybe 30 years ago they did. So we had a conference, and out of that conference came out a couple of programs, not only our new team called Blue Mosaic, but also an evangelistic arts and discipleship program that's been happening in New York, and it is now called Echad. And so we've really had these two programs in music and the arts, evangelistic programs, come out in the last year or two. Our first Blue Mosaic team went on the road in 2010, and that team is actually going to be singing at the Asheville Music Festival, which is a Messianic music festival, coming up next week. It's hard to believe how fast it's coming up, but it's August 9th, 10th, and 11th, just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and there are going to be 47 different bands on two stages. So it's not a conference. It's not music plus something else. It's all about music as presented by musicians, really of all ages, but I'm sure a number of them will be younger Messianic believers sharing their music. And so we're having not only Blue Mosaic there, but for those who know Jeremiah and Hannah Zaretsky, they're going to be there. Also, Giselle Leopepe, who's in the Blue Mosaic, she's going to be there with her own band. And I think it's just going to be a great time of fellowship and worship. Isaac Brickner is going to be part of a team that's leading worship there. So we're going to have a number of folks there, and I'm really looking forward to meeting new people, but also seeing some folks I haven't seen in years or even decades. So it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, you know, we just interviewed Jeff Cook for a second time the other day, and his band is going to be there as well. Again, it's the Asheville Music Festival in Asheville, North Carolina. It's coming up next week. I suppose the Messianic answer to Lollapalooza. but certainly more glorifying
or
to the Lord.
Or maybe Woodstock. I don't know.
No, oh, we don't want to even.
There.
No. I don't want to go there anyway. And I want to say that not only is our guest today, Jeff Melanson, overseeing the music of the Ministry of Jews for Jesus, but he himself traveled with the Liberated Wailing Wall, I believe, on two tours, total of 3 years. Isn't that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did the same thing. That's why you and I look the way we look. But also, I just have to say that that Jeff is a very talented songwriter as well, has written what in my estimation is the most beautiful, heart-stirring rendition of Psalm 67 ever put to music, as far as I'm concerned, and just a really talented brother in the Lord. Tell me a little bit about a day in the life of the ministry at large, being right there at the headquarters of Jews for Jesus, which is sort of like Jewish evangelism central for the world. What's a day in the minister at large office like for you? And bring us into the office and tell us a little bit about what's going on day to day.
Sure. Well, we get phone calls and emails every day from people who have questions about really quite a number of things. For one thing, they maybe it's a friend of a Jewish person and they want to refer that Jewish person to us, so that we'll send some more information to them. We'll send out a letter of witness, which might be my testimony or somebody else's testimony, to that person, and just to help them understand a little bit more about what it means to be a Jewish person that believes in Jesus. We get a lot of questions. The music ministry is actually part of Minister at Large, so I might be getting questions from someone who writes in and says, I need to understand what's the English translation of the Hebrew prayers over the bread and the wine, for example, or can you send me the music for that? Or, I heard about the song El Shaddai, but what does that mean? You know, and so there's a lot of questions we get in general. But our major function really in ministry at large is to be in contact with both Jewish believers and Jewish people who are as of yet not believers in Jesus all around the country outside of our branches, because Jews for Jesus has branches in Chicago, in New York, in South Florida, in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and in many places around the world. And so if there's someone who is interested and is in proximity to one of those branches, obviously we're going to make sure that that branch gets that information and gets into contact. But if someone writes in and says, I'm Jewish and I live in North Dakota, well, we don't have a branch in North Dakota. So we try to stay in touch with that person, answer their questions, and as much as possible help them in their faith journey, as it may be. Maybe they're already a believer, maybe they're not a believer. And so that's what the at-large part of ministry at large is, that those who aren't connected to one of our branches, mm-hmm. that we connect with them as well as we can.
That's really an encouragement, because even though you and I know, because you and I have been followers of Yeshua the Messiah for a number of years, even today, even though Jews believing in Jesus, Messianic Jews, if you will, were a known quantity. I mean, I'll talk to people, oh, yeah, I've got a cousin who's one of you guys. But even though we're a known quantity, it really is still the case that when a Jewish person, even in a big city like Chicago or Boston or L.A. or New York, becomes a believer in Jesus, they really feel like they're out there all alone, and they feel like they must be the only Jew who ever believed in Jesus. And what an encouragement to know that you're not alone. You have a large network of brothers and sisters who believe just like you, that great cloud of witnesses for the present day, as it were, and that's really encouraging. Tell us a little bit more about I'd really like to encourage our listeners to be praying for the music ministry of Jews for Jesus. What's coming down the pike?
Well, right now, I'm actually looking for folks who might want to be part of our next Blue Mosaic team. And the time frame is 1 year, and we are looking for Jewish believers in Jesus, or if there's a couple, one of them could be Jewish and the other Gentile, and of course both believers. So those are the folks that we're looking for. So Jewish believers, essentially, who have a year that they can spend as part of the team. Obviously, they need to be musical. If they're a vocalist or an instrumentalist, we consider that. If they're both, that's, even strengthens it, of course. And one of the nice things about the Blue Mosaic is that we are very open to people contributing their own original music as part of the team. So rather than really unliberated Wailing Wall, we were open to that to some degree, but much of the time we were only using music that had been used in the past. And famously, one of the songs, I think, "Behold, God Is My Salvation," we probably used on every team for about 30 years. It's a great song, but we are definitely now open to songs that come out of people's experience in the present day. So that can be real encouraging, I think, to folks.
Now, Jeff, do people need to, like, if we've got somebody, you know, they're a Jewish believer in Jesus, they have musical giftings, this sounds really like a thing they might want to do. Is this something that they would have to raise all their support and do, or how would that work?
Right. Great question. Actually, for this particular team, a salary is paid. It's not a high salary. It's not going to be what you'd make as a CEO of something in Silicon Valley, but certainly sufficient to live on the road, and people's expenses are paid. So housing and food is paid for when they're on the team. So it's a nice thing that because of the generosity of donors that we have, the people serving on the Blue Mosaic team don't have to wait to raise their own support. Part of it is a practical situation. We know that as we put a team together, the more people that are on the team and the more different circumstances, if we ask people to raise their own support, it might take a while to do that. So we are able to just commit to paying people's expenses, and that way they're not going to have to stop and,
right,
in where they are and, stay in one place and raise support, but rather they can all join together and come onto a team together.
Now, when is the next team scheduled to go out? In other words, are you even now in the process of assembling what will be the next Blue Mosaic team?
I am in the process, good way of putting it. Right now, we're looking at either January or June of 2013. So this coming January or this coming June. And we will have the freedom to decide based really on where people are at who are applying. So if I get a number of people who could all start in January and I can assemble them together and they can be accepted onto a team, then we'll go with the January date. If that's not possible, then we'll go with a June start date. So I'm open to hearing from folks. As a matter of fact, one of the things I'll be doing at AMF is to try to talk to people who may be interested. So I'm definitely in that process even now.
That's great. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We've been talking with Jeff Millinson, who is the director of music for the Ministry of Jews for Jesus. And you can find them on the web. And we encourage you to go to their website, jewsforjesus.org, just one long word, jewsforjesus.org. And Jeff is in the process of recruiting Jewish believing and maybe even Jewish Gentile couples who have musical ability for the Blue Mosaic. And folks, I would encourage you to be in prayer for the Ministry of Jews for Jesus, not only in the matter of evangelism, but even in the matter of God's direction for the personnel for the next traveling team, Blue Mosaic. And again, Jeff Millinson, you can find them on the web, jewsforjesus.org. You can reach them by phone at 415-864-2600. And Jeff, want to thank you so much for giving us some of your time today, and give our love and regards to everybody there at headquarters.
Sure will. Thanks so much, Glenn.
All right. Thank you very much. Folks, you've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We come to you every weekday at the same time. Really glad that you joined us today. Hope you'll be back with us tomorrow for another exciting adventure in Jewish people finding Jesus the Messiah. And we believe strongly that he is the Messiah for Jew and Gentile alike. Want to direct you to our website. It's Shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. Get in touch with us. Let us know that you listened, and we'd be delighted to send you some more information. So stay in touch. On behalf of Rabbi Lauren and me, Rabbi Glenn, and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, want to say Shalom, Shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.